Well, good morning. We had a big ladies retreat here yesterday, didn't we? And how did that go? It went really well. We had a few we had a good turnout, I hear. Hey, my girls came back pretty excited, and yeah, it was great. Thank you. Awesome. Yeah, I saw. We had a couple crafts come home. They were pretty awesome. I like the saying on it. What did it say? Fall for Jesus, right? He'll never leave you. And she had leaves on the plaque. I love the play on words. That was awesome. Yeah, I'm glad, really glad that went well for you guys. I heard good things from the girls last night, so that was awesome. I have, we've been talking about who are we? Who are we as the people of God? Who am I? And who does God say we are? And we are children of God. We're children of the Most High King. And there's a lot of identity in that. And so I kind of wanted to continue on that theme, and we're gonna break off into it to just a little bit of a different conversation, still talking around who we are in Christ and who God says we are and who we are in Him. I've been thinking quite a bit about my dad this weekend, and it was my dad's birthday on Saturday. He is now 75 years old, and you can kind of tell he's 75 now. I was talking with my brothers and sisters and said, man, is dad a little more forgetful than normal? And they said, yes. I said, yeah, I've noticed. I've never really noticed before, or at least up to this point, but now he's starting to recognize it. And he doesn't call as often. He takes more naps in the afternoon. He still drives a bus. He loves the kids, and he still drives the school bus for the kids every morning, and he kind of has his routines. And so I was thinking quite a bit over this weekend, and I was reflecting on all the wonderful things that he has taught me over the years. My dad was a hard worker. He worked in a mine for most of his life, so he was on graveyard shifts. He lived a lot in darkness. He'd be underground where it's really dark, and then he'd come up, and then he'd go to sleep, and he'd have to have blackout blinds so he could sleep because he's normally sleeping in the day. And so he spent a lot of time, you know, in the dark, and I was thinking about all the different things he taught me about Jesus and all the ways that he modeled Christ to me. And I was thinking of one particular story, actually. It was when I was coming home from Bible college, from Briarcrest Bible College, and my dad had purchased me this little Hyundai Excel. It was an 87. We got it for $500, and I put more oil than gas in that little car. And I remember I would carry a crate of oil in the back of it because I'd have to fill it up so often. They called it Little Smokey. That was the nickname my friends at college gave it because it blew smoke all the time. And I remember coming home from college one time. I think it was a Thanksgiving break, actually. And I called my dad up on the way home. He said, hey, where are you at? I said, oh, I'm right here. He said, well, I'm working at the mine tonight. Why don't you come stop by and I'll be done my shift in a few hours, and then we'll just drive home together. I said, oh, sounds great. So I went in there, and my dad and I got talking, and he was finishing working. And he said, how many times have I brought you down here? And I said, well, actually, you've never brought me down. He says, no. I said, yeah, I've never gone underground with you. He says, yes, you have. I said, Dad, I can assure you I've never gone underground with you, not even once. He said, well, we're going to remedy that right now. And so his shift was finished, and I had to put on some coveralls, this big battery pack that hooked up to your skull beam, your heart helmet, and it had a headlamp on it. And we went down, and you go into the shaft elevator, and it's a weird feeling because you're going thousands upon thousands of feet into the earth. And your stomach feels like it's actually coming out of your head. It goes so fast because otherwise it would take forever for them to get down to where they're mining and cutting into the ground. And so we go down there, and after I got my stomach back right again, we get down and I step out, and it's like a whole little village down there. It was amazing. There's a little mini gas station, little mini vehicles down there, and it's not that high, I mean, where they cut, right, enough for you, for the machinery to get into, and they have different pathways going every which way. And my dad was very good at his job. He won a lot of awards. He saved a couple crews. He came in from work, and he said, man, this is really wet. This is going to cave in. He cleared them out, and 2 minutes after he cleared everybody out, the whole thing caved right in. And so he really knew what he was doing. He learned a lot about life, about himself, and even about the Lord being underground, because he spent a lot of time down there. And so we hop on this little Jeep and we go to that little mini gas station. They even had an Esso sign down there. I'm sure it wasn't an Esso gas station, but it was kind of funny. And he fills up the Jeep and he said, let's go for a ride. I said, okay, let's go. And so we go and we're traveling. And I said, where are you taking me? He says, I'm going to take you to the furthest part, the furthest path, the furthest where we cut underground. I said, okay. I said, well, we're good with gas, so it's full. We'll be able to get back. And so we just have the headlights of the vehicle on at that time. And we're traveling all the way down to the very end. And we get to the end, and then my dad stops, and then he turns off the vehicle. I said, well, keep it running just in case, please. And he said, no, no, no. He said, I want to show you something. And so he turns off the vehicle and then turned off the lights of the Jeep. And I said, what are you doing? And then he turns off his headlamp. And so my headlamp is the only one that's left. And he says, turn it off. I said, no way. He said, turn it off. I said, I do not want to be in a dark room with you. I said, my girlfriend, maybe, but not you, Dad. And he says, no, 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 please. I'm like, and it's getting a little bit eerie, I'm not going to lie. And so he says, turn off your headlamp. I said, okay. So I finally turned it off. And I'm not kidding you, to this day, like I think about it, look at my hairs are standing on. I had never experienced darkness like I did that day. It was so unbelievably dark. And my dad said, he said, put your hand out in front of you. So I did. He said, can you see it? I said, no, I can't. And I'm trying to like, you're trying to like, oh, maybe I could get a little glimpse, nothing. He said, touch your nose. So I touched my nose. He said, can you see your hand? I said, I can't see it. Like, I can't see a single thing. And then my dad cracked his skull beam on, his headlamp on. And whew, you should have seen the darkness flee. It was an unbelievable thing. And that darkness just fled in the presence of light. And that light just glowed and it shone so bright. And my dad said to me, he said, son, who lives in you? I said, Jesus. I said, who's the light of the world? I said, Jesus. And who lives in you? I said, Jesus, the light of the world. He said, can darkness be where light is? I said, no, it can't. He says, remember, the light of the Lord is always in you. Darkness can never be where he is. Now, I've never forgotten about that. And man, I chewed on that. That's all he said. And I chewed in on that and chewed on that. And I've obviously impacted me because to this day I still remember it. I can even tell you what I was wearing. And it was an unbelievable thing. Jesus, the light of the world, lives in us. Let me read from John chapter 8. Here's what it says in John. John chapter 8 verse 12 says this. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. Did you get that? Right? I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have, not should have, hope to have, but will have the light of life. Amen? They will never walk in darkness. Jesus, the light of the world, lives in you and lives in me, and we will never walk in that darkness. I have a really clear picture of that because of that experience that my dad gave to me, what he showed me. It's interesting, hey, they have a flashlight, but they don't have a flash dark, right? There's nothing invented that spreads darkness, is there? Right? There's nothing. You can only spread light. Isn't that an interesting thing? He is the light of the world. Now, we have Christ living in us. I and my Father, he says, have come and made our home in you for those who've called on his name. I and my Father have come and made our home in you. Christ, the light of the world, lives in us. Colossians 3:4. I think we have it up there somewheres. Yeah, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Christ, who is your life. Life. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the? I am the resurrection and the life. Christ, who is your life. He is your very life. I don't think I put this one up there, but we've read it already through our series of Who Am I? Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with, therefore I no longer, but Christ now lives his life in me, right? I have been crucified with Christ. Therefore, I, the old identity, no longer live, but Christ, the new identity, now lives in me. And we can look at 2 Corinthians 5, chapter 16 and 17. I believe I have that one up there. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. So we don't look at things no longer through a worldly point of view. We look at things through a spiritual point of view, through a godly point of view, through Christ. So we don't regard anything from a worldly point of view. We do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come and the old has gone. The new is here. Amen? So we have been crucified with Christ. That old identity no longer lives, but Christ now lives in through me. The question that I get asked over and over and over through counseling, through meeting with people around the world. Okay, Chad, so if I have Christ in me, I have the light of the world living in me, why is it then that I still feel darkness? Why do I still struggle? Why do I still have all these problems? Why do I still experience defeat, or at least feel defeat anyway? How come I don't feel victorious over it? I think it's a fair question, isn't it? Why am I still experiencing those things if Christ now lives in through me? Now, if we are new creations in Christ, which we are because he said so, we have a new identity. It's been the old has been crucified with Christ, and the new is now here. Why do we continue to struggle? So let me put it in these words. Why do we continue to struggle with the feelings and the habits and the behaviors of our past? Why do we continue to struggle with those things? The unholy trinity, as I like to name it, which is sin, Satan, and the world, right? It's the unholy trinity. The holy trinity is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we'll call this the unholy trinity. Sin, Satan, the world, they will use messages from our past to stir the residue from the departed old man. Let me explain that. The unholy trinity, sin, Satan, and the world, will use messages from our past to stir the residue of the departed old man. Now, my grandma has passed away, and my grandma was a very organized, very detailed person. She had teacups here, you know, coffee mugs here, china cups here. She had everything so organized, and she made sure you put everything back exactly where it was supposed to be. Now, before she passed away, she organized everything. She got all of her stuff organized before she passed away, so nobody had to deal with anything. Even the stuff in her to her belonging, she called everybody and she wanted to know, would you like this, would you like this? And she put a piece of masking tape with her name on it so that when she passed, everybody got what they wanted from Grandma. I got her Bible, and I sure enjoy reading that, all the wisdom that she gained over her lifetime. She died at 97 years of age. And I think if COVID wasn't there, she probably would have lived a lot longer. But soon as she couldn't visit anybody, she went downhill so fast. Wonderful woman. Now, when my grandma passed, did she take her belongings with her? All the stuff she had in bag, her baggage, did her baggage remain or did it go with her? No, yeah. All of her baggage remained. When she passed away, she did not bring her baggage with her. And the same thing happens to the departed old man, the old identity, right? It has been crucified with Christ. So something that's crucified, is it killed? Yes, it's killed. It's dead. I have been crucified with Christ. Therefore, I, the old identity, no longer lives, but Christ, the new identity I have in him, now lives in through me. But what's the problem? Well, just as my grandma didn't get to take her baggage with her, we have baggage left in the mind, right? Because we remember, we have memory, right? We remember. We experience things in the past, and it's still there, isn't it? So when I meet with people for counseling, that's part of my job, is I want to know, what do they have stored here that's creating havoc in their life? What are the lies that remain that they're believing are truth, and help them to see the truth from the lie, right? Because all fear, all trouble is rooted in a lie, something I'm believing that's actually not true. That's why the enemy is called a deceptor, deceiving, right? Deceiving is misapplied truth. He'll take truth, but he'll misapply it, right? To get you to believe it is the truth. So we have this baggage that's here in our old, in our memory banks, right? I remember. And so I have these memory of this. And then we read in Luke 9:23. What does it say? I think I had that one up there. Luke chapter 9, verse 23, that says, "Then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me." They must deny themselves. Well, what is the self to deny? The new creation, the old creation, the new identity, the old identity. What is the self that Jesus is talking about? Whoever wants to be my disciples must deny themselves, take up their cross daily. Actually, Luke is the one. The other, Matthew, Mark just say, take up the cross and follow me. But Luke says, take up your cross daily and follow me. I like that because most days it's a daily thing, isn't it? Right? I have to deny it daily. That flesh, the flesh life will creep in. That's why he said the heart is deceitfully wicked above all else, because it's constantly looking to the world to fill it, right? Instead of recognizing that we're full in Christ already. Full to overflowing, actually, it says. So let's talk. I also want to talk about, how do we deny self? How do we know what it is? What is that self to talk about? The unholy trinity, here's what happens. It attacks the unrenewed mind, the mind that hasn't been renewed. So the unholy trinity, which who I said, what is? Sin, Satan, and the world, right? It will attack the unrenewed mind. Romans 12, verse 2 says this. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So we need a renewing of the mind, right? You want transformation. What do you need? I need a renewing of the mind. To what? What do I need to renew my mind from? We need to renew our mind from the lie to the truth. We need to renew our mind from what is your old identity to what is your new identity. Remember we talked about, and it might have been a couple messages ago, that if you don't know who you are, I guarantee you somebody else will tell you who you are. And you probably won't like it. So we need to know who we are. So we must renew our mind to God's truth of who we really are. Okay, so I have victory in Christ, but I'm still experiencing defeat. I'm still experiencing problems. So we have to deny self daily. We have to renew our mind even daily. Right? It says, hold our thoughts captive to who? To Christ. Hold every thought captive to him. Do not be conformed into this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So, let's go over this. So, A, let's call this point A. I have Christ's life within me. Amen? Right? I have a new identity. right? What is true of Christ is now true of me. Remember the story I told you of that little weak and poor boy came up to the king and wrapped his arms around him, and the king said, "You are the wisest in all of my kingdom, for you've discovered whatever is now true of the king is also true for you." Who is our king? Jesus. And he's wrapped his arms around us, hasn't he? Right? We don't get a hold of him per se. He's gotten a hold of us, and he's working his life through us. Amen? Right? As Paul says, we're still but a poor reflection in the mirror in 1 Corinthians 13 until he comes. We're constantly working out our salvation daily, right? And his life is being worked in through us. I may not recognize all of that I am, but I'm going to continue as I grow in this life to be what I always was, right? My boy Aiden, he's a man. He's just growing into what he always was, a man, right? We don't recognize all of the fullness. Remember that scripture in Colossians? The fullness of the Godhead lives in bodily form in you, in me, and in Christ I've been brought to that fullness. So we have Christ's life within. His life is now my life. But messages that I receive today from people or even from situations in the world that I live in are similar to my messages from the past, and it's like it pushes this button that kind of closes off this life to Christ. I don't recognize what I have. So let me give you an example. This one lady came into my office, and she's telling me her story. And one of her messages were that she was stupid. And so she wasn't great at schoolwork, right? And her teachers actually told her, you need to go to the O1 classes, which were you have to be smarter to be in the double O classes, but you need to go in the one. So just another message. And then she was with a friend at work, and they were trying to work through something. This is now her today. And her friend says, "Oh, you're just so stupid. Why can't you get this? How many times do I have to explain this to you?" Well, there's another like message that she received that she already had from her past, right? So she had teachers say it, right? She filtered that message through her old identity. And now she's received the message, "I am stupid," right? Now, who wants to live out of that identity? Anybody here? No. So now what happens is she attempted to change herself because she doesn't want to believe that. So she went and she decided, I'm going to get a couple degrees. And she did. She had a couple undergrad degrees. She had a couple master's degrees, and she had her doctorate to prove that she's not stupid. But then she works with this person at work, and now she receives another similar message in her today where her work associate says, "Oh, you're just so stupid. How many times do I have to explain this to you?" And she still felt stupid. So did her attempts to change herself work? No, but she was trying to change her behavior and how she felt. So now she has to cope with the reality that she couldn't change herself. And so she started drinking to try and numb the pain. And she started doing drugs to try and numb the pain in her life. Now, is that going to work? No. But what's the problem at that point in someone's life? As I'm meeting with someone, here is the problem at that point. Now, her behavior just proves her identity of what she originally felt. I'm stupid. You see how this works? It's such a vicious cycle. And we go through it again and again and again because we're still attempting to change my old identity. But can we improve the flesh? No. He doesn't want us to live. The flesh will always be the flesh. Your flesh pattern, your old identity patterns will always be there. There's residue left in your mind from the crucifixion of your old self. God wants you to live out of your new identity. The old has gone, he said. The new has come. But if you don't know who that new person is, what option do you have? You're going to live out of that old identity. And when people come in for counseling, they've gone through that circuit for a while. I received a like message from my past. I feel this way. I try to change it. It doesn't work. And now I cope by doing things that are really damaging. Right? And then my behavior proves my done. I'm going to try it again. And they go in this spiral, and they work themselves to this tight little knot where is the place of depression or for some suicide because they get tired of trying to change themselves. How long has the world been trying to change itself? Right? Has it worked yet? Are we better off today than 20 years ago? I feel like the food was better 20 years ago. And cheaper. Absolutely. Right? The world has been trying to change itself for a long time, but change doesn't work. God's way isn't change. God's way is the exchange. I'm going to exchange that old Adam life that was powerless to overcome, and I'm going to put Christ's new life into you that has power to overcome this life. Now, nowhere in Scripture does it say we overcome. It says He overcame on our behalf. Amen? So we're learning to tap into this life that we have in us that helps us overcome our today. Amen? We have to deny ourselves daily. There's going to be a temptation to try and attempt to change your old identity. But God didn't come to improve it. He came to remove it. Amen? He wants us to live out of our new identity. So, I have Christ's life within me. I receive messages today that are similar to messages from my past that push off this button to say that He's not there. Right? Because I don't have my eyes on Him anymore. Remember the story I told you about my mother-in-law and the glasses? Do you guys remember that? Remember that story, right? She was late for work, and she was just absolutely going nuts, and I enjoyed this moment as a son-in-law just for a little bit. I know it's a sick sense of satisfaction. I know that. But it still made me smile. And she looks at me. She goes, "What? What are you looking at?" "Marie, they're on your head." Oh. And off she goes to work, didn't say a word. But God showed me something that day as I pondered on that moment. I thought He was showing me something different. I thought, "Wow, Lord, You redeemed all that stuff she dished out to me in one moment. Thank You for that." But that wasn't it. See, what the Lord spoke to me after that was, you see, she went looking for what she already had. And because she went looking for what she had, she lost what she had. Because she didn't see it, right? And He said to me, "Son, you go looking for joy in this life, but you already have joy in Me. So if you don't see you have it in Me, you're going to go looking for it, so you've lost it. You go looking for peace in this world and all the stuff in it. But you already have peace in Me, so you lose the peace that passes all understanding you have in Me because you're looking out here. If you don't see what you have, you will lose what you have." Amen? Do we have victory in Jesus? All the old hymns sing about it. They must have known something, right? We have victory in Him. If you go looking for your victory, you've lost your victory because you already have it in Him, right? So this is the... It's like there's this imaginary door to His life in us, okay? And there's a little hinge on it, and it can swing open or closed. And once I get my eyes onto the world and the things in it, I no longer see Him, right? And He's huge, right? He is the master of the universe. He's the God above all. He is massive. And it isn't amazing that the enemy can get you looking over here so you miss Jesus, the big white elephant in your room. Right? That's His job. He is to deceive you into thinking that you can get life out of this world and the things in it. That's His job. He wants you to believe that you can get life and peace and joy and power from this world. But has not life proved to us? But that's why He says you must pick up your cross daily, deny yourself, and follow Me, He says. What do you think will close off that door to His life? That will help me to, I won't recognize it. It will, what do you think it is? I think it's two words. I can. Those words are dangerous. I can. Because He said, apart from Him, you can do nothing. So I think when we use those words, I can, right, we're no longer looking to Him. Who are we looking to? Myself. I can do it. But you know what blast open that door to see Him so clearly? Is the opposite. I cannot. But He can. right? Faith says he can. Humility says I cannot. Pride says I can. Unbelief says he cannot. You got it? Okay? Pride says I can do it. And unbelief says he cannot. Humility says he can. Right? He can. And faith says that he can do it through me. Amen? So as soon as we get our eyes onto other things, right? Turn your eyes upon the world. Look full in its wonder. No, right? Turn your eyes upon? Still the Sunday school answer today. Turn your eyes upon him who lives within. You cannot do it. Life will prove it to you. I promise you. Life will prove it to you that apart from him, you can do nothing. So, I've got my eyes off of him. I've got my eyes onto the world. And once this door to Christ's life, this imaginary door, because when I don't see what I have, I lose what I have, is closed, we begin to live out of and we spiral into this baggage that is left in our mind from the departed old self, the departed old man, the old Adam life. And these four things occur. You ready? Here's what happens. I think you'll agree with me. First, those old identity feelings resident in my mind from the past, I'm worthless, I'm unacceptable, I'm unlovable, I'm insecure, I'm insignificant, I have no value, I have no purpose, I don't belong. I might as well just kill myself. Anybody experienced any of those before? Right, that's from our old identity. This old identity feelings resident in my mind of all those things, they get stirred up through events similar to those in my past that are happening in my today. Right, so she had those messages of stupid already, and then she's with a work employee now who says, oh, you're so stupid. How many times do I have to explain this to you? Right? So it gets stirred. Now I'm stirred up. All this residue in my mind left from the departed old man is there, and it gets stirred up in my mind. And then my old attempts of trying to improve my identity surface. I start to people please, I start to perform, I start to exercise, I make sure I attend Bible study every Wednesday, church every Sunday, I give my 10%, all of this stuff, which isn't bad necessarily, but when does it become bad for that person? When you're looking to it to fill your need instead of seeing you're already filled up in Christ. See, exercise is fun. I know this one lady, she was passionate about exercising. She's very healthy, health nut, right? But her passion eventually became her obsession because she never felt like she looked good enough. So she's in the gym constantly. So the thing that she originally loved, now she hated because she's trying to get life out of it now instead of just the enjoyment of making her physical body healthy because that's how God made it to be, right? Right, there's a difference there. So now she's attempting to change herself. It gets stirred, and the old identity, all those attempts of trying to improve myself, they surface. And now pressure is building in me, right? We've all sensed this pressure, right? Some of us feel it in our guts, right? Now there's pressure that builds, causing a turning to my idols, right? My coping mechanisms of the past. Maybe it's I withdraw, maybe I get depressed, maybe I look to sedatives, drugs, alcohol, right? Anybody relate to this, right? And now I start looking to the things of the past. Remember Rachel and Leah? When they left, they brought their gods of the past with them, their idols. Why did they bring them with them? Just in case Yahweh doesn't come through, we're going to bring them with us. And that's our tendency. Will God come through? Do I trust him? Or am I going to still look to the things of my past like Rachel and Leah? Or can I trust God with me? Even though it looks pretty grim, can I trust him in the midst of this situation in my life? The goal again is, in my distress, I sought the Lord. In your distress, are you seeking ice cream, McDonald's, the gym, a friend, I don't know? What are you seeking? And as this pressure builds, causing me to turn to my idols, my old coping mechanisms of the past, now the believer, he begins to feel, perform, and cope exactly like an unbeliever now. Now what's the difference? Though he's going to heaven, his daily experience is hell on earth. It's absolute hell on earth. That's what hell on earth is. And the problem at this point is not the behavior, but rather the door, which when open releases Christ's life and disposes of the baggage. I will keep you in perfect peace. If your mind stays on me, but we get focused on the problem, right? The behavior, right? A Christian and a pagan can actually have the same behavior. What's the difference between the believer and the unbeliever? It's Christ. The unbeliever will try to change his behavior, but does it work? No. Our job is to get our eyes back on Jesus. And how far do we have to look? Oh, hello, good morning, Jesus. Hello, Holy Spirit. Hello, Father. I need to get my eyes on you. Thank you that you've overcome everything. I trust you with this situation, and I trust you with me. I can't see ahead, but I don't need to because you do. You see ahead. You see the way. So I'm going to continue to find my peace and my life and my contentment and my fulfillment and my satisfaction in you, because you will overcome it in your right time. Amen? Did the father with the prodigal son, did he let him journey a little bit to discover what he needed to discover? Yeah, the father loved him enough to let him go and experience all that. But was it all inside his will? Yeah, his permissive will. I work everything for the good of those who love me. Amen? Even your old identity. God obviously left it there for a reason, right? How would you understand your new identity if you didn't have an old identity? Right? He's not trying to overcome it. He's using it for your good. In the contrast, we learn. I don't like this, but man, I sure love this with the Lord. Amen? We're not behavioral therapists. Our job is to point people to Christ in the midst of their sin, their hurt, their pain, their sorrow. I want them to see Christ, which disposes of the baggage. Amen? I want to make a quick note here on this. You'll notice something. The baggage from the death of the old man in your mind, it'll be stirred the moment fellowship with Christ is neglected. Right? I want to say that again, okay? Because this is an important part. That baggage in your mind from the death of the departed old man, it gets stirred the moment fellowship with Christ is neglected. Right? Fellowship to commune with God, to sit with him, to enjoy him, to ask him questions, to listen to his answers, to enjoy that relationship. As past feelings and behaviors surface in your life, those past feelings and behaviors, the believer is not to fight these manifestations of the flesh. That will be your temptation to fight him. But he overcame everything, right? So our tendency is to fight those manifestations of the flesh rather than the Christ that dwells within becoming our focus. Okay? I'm going to say that again. The baggage will get stirred when fellowship with Christ gets neglected. Because this world just sucks us in, doesn't it? It's like this vacuum trying to get you to believe things, and then you have sin, and then you have Satan on top of that, right? The unholy Trinity, right? And it wants to suck you in, and then we neglect our communion with Christ, recognizing who we are, right? Didn't Jesus get away all the time? He went off to a solitary place. He went off to a lonely place. He went off to a secret place. He went off to a quiet place, right? He was recharging. He had to get away from people probably too, because who wouldn't want to be around Jesus, right? But he's recharging with his Father, communing with his Father, having some time alone. We need that too, right? How much more than do we, right? And as your past feelings and behavior surface, there's going to be a tendency for you to fight those manifestations in the flesh instead of the Christ that dwells within becoming your focus. Amen. In my distress, I sought the Lord. Right? I sought the Lord. That must become the focus. Amen. You know, I think when people come into my office, they're looking for a one-time fix. Right? That's what we want, right? I kind of would like that, right? And they're looking for a one-time fix from this old identity. I want it to go away, but God didn't remove it, right? He left it there because it's the contrast to teach us the new identity. How do you know fat without thin? Why do I always point to myself? I don't know. Just have more there these days. How do I know hot without cold? Right? How do you know a God without a devil? How do you know high without low? How do you know the new identity without the? Right? So God left it. So you're looking for a one-time fix for it, but it's always going to be there. The whole point is not to focus on the behavior, the problem. The whole point is to get your eyes on Jesus, who's right here. Amen? That's why I like to wake up before I start my day, put my hand over my heart, and say, Lord Jesus, you're welcome here. You're welcome here. This day does not need Chad in the flesh. It doesn't need Chad in the old identity. This day needs Chad living out of his new identity, the life I have in you. So, Lord, come express your life through me today. Come and be the counselor that the people are coming to see me. You come be through me to them. You come be the pastor, Lord. I can't do that right either. So you come and preach through me to your people. Would you come and be the dad too, Lord, that you need me to be for my kids? Because I can't do that right either. Come and be to me everything that I am not. Because I believe you can. And you can do it through me to perfection. Amen? Come express your life through me today. And I go out and be who I am in Christ. Until I need to stop because I tripped. And I try not to let that hiccup turn into a throw up. And that's to me Christian maturity. Choosing him sooner and sooner. Getting your eyes on him quicker and quicker. And staying in that longer and longer and longer. Amen? That's what Christian maturity is. The door of abiding is a beautiful thing. What will blow open that door, what will allow you to recognize his life within is saying, Lord, I cannot, but I know you can. Right? I know you can. So you come be through me what I never could be. I know I can't. Apart from you, I can do nothing. So we want to learn more and more about this new identity, right? The world told you you're unacceptable, but he tells you, you're accepted in me because of what my son did. The world told you you're worthless. He said, you have so much worth, I sent my one son to die on a cross to prove it. The world told you you're an unlovable. Nobody will ever love you. He said, I so loved the world that I gave my one and only son for you. Amen. Right, whatever the world has told you in your old identity, I assure you God has told you something opposite in your new identity. Yes, we're secure in Christ, right? We're significant in him. Okay, let's pray. We'll end there. Father God, thank you so much for the good news of the gospel. This is the gospel. It is the good news. That you've come to bring us new life, that we have a new hope, we have a new faith in you, a new covenant bound by your blood that was shed, your pure, your perfect, and holy blood that now flows in through us. Lord, help this church to recognize who they truly are so that they can share the good news with others in their life, in their sphere of influence, that we are secure because of you. We're significant because of you. We are loved because of you. That we get to live loved every single day. And that's such a safe place to live, living loved by you. May everybody here know it. May they have the opportunity to share it, because it is such good news. Thank you, Lord, for giving to us what we never could. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, that great, that awesome, that holy, that perfect name, the perfect person of Jesus. In that name, God's people pray, and all of his children said, amen. 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 All right, have a great week. Thanks again for this gift, by the way.